This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. I'm Ross Cooper and today I'm joined by Dean Atkinson. It's like going back to the COVID season of the COVID lives, just the two of us today.
Like we said, give the fans what they want. If you request something so much, you'll get it eventually. And here we are, sports fans. We're back
here we are.
Together.
Yes.
Together forever. I mean, the last time we spoke to each other was the Hadji Wright and Liam Kelly at the tavern. That seems like a long time ago.
That does seem, that feels a long time ago. It feels like quite a lot. That was before the Watford game, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah, and I've been to Disneyland since then. I went to the Ryder Cup since then. A lot has happened.
Incredible. How was Disneyland?
I've bottled everything up Coventry City-wise, so I'm about to throw it all on you. But Disney was great. Universal was great. Orlando was great. It was just hot, mate. It was just really, really hot. Yeah. My pale complexion doesn't really go well.
What Disney character do you think you are?
Oh, that is a good question.
Question for the Sky Blue Army. I want you to all reply to this pod with each of us, me, Dean, Dave, Wardy, Ross Spence, Matt, and Andy, which Disney character would you say we all are?
Well, Andy's already got Andy from Toy Story, hasn't he?
So yes.
He's got that.
Yeah.
As in, like, he plays with us as well.
Yeah.
He's like the owner.
Yeah.
He plays.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the owner of Sky Blues Extra, so he sort of plays with us. I don't know. Let me think on that.
We'll come back.
There'll be a point during this podcast I'll just randomly go, Buzz! And you'll be like, what?
Yeah, but cracking stuff. So, and that was the Ryder Cup, mate. That must have been a great experience.
Unbelievable. One of the best, the best sporting experience of my life. Just, I mean, I was working there, but I got to enjoy it as a fan as well. It's my favourite sporting event in the world to watch. Has been since a little kid. And to actually be there and experience it was just unbelievable. And Europe win as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, happy days. I mean, beating the Americans in any sport is amazing. To do it in like one of my favorite sports and at my favorite event was even better. I've just saw the golf course is on fire this evening, which is mental.
Really?
Check that out on Twitter. The videos and pictures are crazy. Good job it didn't happen at the weekend.
Yeah. Wow. That is crazy. But no.
Talking of being on fire, Sky Blues, two in a row.
Two in a row, exactly. Nice segue in there. Yeah. So obviously, we'll get straight into it, Dean. Blackburn Rovers on Wednesday night. 1-0 win. Me and Dave last week spoke about before the QPR game, fine margins, and went through all the 1-0s from last season and how they could have been very different. And this is one that, you know, this season so far, Huddersfield could have gone that way, but it didn't. Yesterday, Wednesday night, it did go our way. A 1-0 win. What's your big takeaway from the performance?
From the performance or the result?
Well, both.
Well, yeah. The result is fantastic. And, you know, it's great to win at home. It's been a while since we have won at home. I can imagine the fans were, you know, a little anxious going into the game because we haven't seen a win at home for a while. So it was good to get that under the belt. But the performance, I mean, talk about scraping the barrel for positives, shall we say. It hasn't been good, has it? Let's you know, call a spade a spade. It's been really poor, I feel. Mm. Even against QPR, other than the goals, it's been poor. Like, the football's been really, really dying. I kind of expect it because of, you know, obviously the transition we're going through and the injuries we've got. It's, you know, we're just trying to fill gaps at the moment a little bit, but I do expect to see a little bit better football at times.
That will come though. Do you not think back to last season at this sort of stage, there was a lot of games where it was very similar. We won games in moments.
Yeah, they were gritty wins. Yeah.
I think that was yesterday with Hamer. Yeah, it was a gritty win.
Yeah, yeah, yesterday was a gritty win because, I mean, for the first time in a long time, I've listened to Mark Robbins' comments after the game and gone, yeah, I agree with you there, Mark. I think you got that bob on. He said the first half, we were kind of in control. Well, yes, we were in control, but we wasn't doing much with it. And then it was pretty much Blackburn, I thought, for the rest of the game.
Well, Kelly getting injured. That seemed to be the turning point there yesterday at the game. When Kelly, I mean, it all started when Jamie Allen did that suicidal pass. They broke. Kelly, I knew, was in trouble. I mean, Huge. He did ever so well.
Did he stretch that or was it just yeah, a run?
I mean, it was at the other end, but I just think it was the fact that he broke an absolute neck to have to cover. Did well. We didn't concede. And then he just sat down and I said, I think he's probably done his hammy.
He's played four games in a row, Ross. I mean, you kind of know what you get with Liam Kelly. You can't put him in that situation where he's going to play game after game because of his body, his age. It's just going to break down. And, you know, it has. And now, again, we're in shit street because he's going to be, I mean, that's a torn groin, did Robin say?
A torn hamstring.
Hamstring, okay, yeah. So...
He's had a few of those as well, hasn't he?
I mean, that's 5-6 weeks straight off the bat for someone who's, you know, not got the greatest track record of returning quickly. So maybe you're looking at, you know, an extra 2-3 weeks on top of that. You know, it's Christmas before you know it and Santa's coming down the chimney. So it's...
Hopefully with a couple of centre midfielders in his sack.
You know, that's what we need. We are struggling there now. And, I mean, the sort of... The light at the end of the tunnel is seeing Ben Sheaf back on the grass in that video with Fabio. And is he one of these players who they thought it was long-term and he's coming back quicker than what was expected?
Yeah, I think so. I think him and possibly even sort of Van Avat, really. Obviously, he's not on the grass yet, but it looks like O'Hare and Ben Sheaf are going to be the first ones sort of back in. And he's probably going to have to be brought back sooner. But I mean, even if we did have this extra centre mid, if we had replaced Hamer, even with the injuries now, we'd still be looking really light. We'd be thinking we have whoever the other centre mid is, Allen and Eccles. So we have been unlucky with injuries.
I don't think I trust Allen and Eccles together. I don't. I just got some trust issues there. I trust Eccles and Kelly, but you're not going to get the attacking threat from them. I appreciate that, but I trust them to do the job in the centre of the midfield to, you know, stop attacks, etc. But I don't think I have that same trust in Eccles and Allen to do that same role. And as for Ayari, he can't play that centre two. He just can't do it.
No. We obviously, that's been a bit of a discussion point, but it was clear. I mean, obviously, when we're in the formation, when we're defending, he has to drop in to make it three so we can cover a bit more of that width. But it's that defensive
running. He was a bit
headless
chicken doing that last night, that defensive running back, because he was kind of like going to the same position that Eccles was going into. Or Allen was going into, and it became like you had two players so close to each other, and there was just a huge gap. And Blackburn were a good footballing side. Let's not beat around the bush here. They played really, really well. They deserve something from the game, and you know, we could on another night it could have been, you know, easily gone the other way, easily.
Yeah, they did. I was impressed with them considering the run they'd been on and the amount of goals they conceded. I thought, I mean, Tyrese Dolan looked ever so good.
He looks a sharp player.
Really dangerous.
Yeah. Schmoddix, weren't we linked with Schmoddix in the summer as well?
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe. But I mean, Britain kind of on the, you know, they've got a lot of technically very good players, and they kept the ball very well.
Johansson on the bench.
Yeah, and I was impressed with them. I actually think, and that's in a way I look at it and go, I know they're struggling the table, but we know what the table's sort of irrelevant right now. I think they'll come good. I think they're a good side. I think they do blow hot and cold. I think
they're definitely a solid mid-table championship side.
So I think it's a very, the result was obviously much better than the performance, but that's what we needed. And I mean, the second half we sort of had a few moments. I mean, the woodwork took a bit of a battering.
Yeah, you know, woke up with a big headache this morning. That woodwork morning. straight to the medicine cabinet for a couple of aspirin for sure.
I mean, obviously, first one, the Ben Wilson, just touched on that, his save to tip it onto the bar. I mean,
it's a brilliant save. I mean, that's two games in a row now he's made unbelievable stops. And, you know, he's come into criticism, and I have given him some pouters over the last few pods that I have been on. But credit where credit's due, he's played solid. I don't think he deserved to let in a goal at the weekend. And he made a couple of really, really smart saves, not just that one onto the bar. I think that one towards the end of the game where it might have been Nolan coming in back post and he just pushed it away. Perfect positioning.
Yeah.
Great timing. And he's kind of come into his own a little bit more over the last few games, which is good to see. And at the moment, he is the undisputed number one.
Yeah.
He really is.
Well, he's really impressed me. And I think he's somehow got, you know, Wardy maybe is giving him insights in the Sky Blues Extra chat, because he must have read what Ross Spence had to say about him. Only a couple of games ago, he said, I don't think he's a good goalkeeper.
I think he said League One standard.
I think he said that. So sure Ross Spence is somewhere. Now you can edit messages on WhatsApp. I'm sure he's changing that as we speak.
He's probably doing it, already.
But no, excellent from him. And obviously that was the first one that hit the bar. And then the second half, Matty Godden with the first strike. That was a good move, wasn't it?
We'll come on to Godden. Can I just say, in regards to their disallowed goal and Wilson's attempt at that, you know, he's got to be more solid for me. I think we got away with one there. I think the goal should stand because he hasn't got full control of the ball. If anything, it was Nolan, wasn't it?
Or Moran, I think.
Yeah. So whoever it was, he kicks the ball into Wilson's hands. The first touch comes from him into Wilson's hands. Wilson hasn't got control. And obviously it's the follow through that takes the ball then out of Wilson's hands. But because he doesn't have control of the ball, does it matter? Can you score from that? I don't know that obviously the rule completely, but I was under the impression that if he doesn't have full control of the ball, it's anyone's.
Well, I mean, It was difficult. Obviously, it was up my end. The only thing I would say is something felt odd about it. Like, it felt like Blackburn celebrated quite sheepishly, a bit like how Ayari did, you know, against Huddersfield. And then there was no complaints. Like, only Higham half-hearted walked over to the linesman. And normally, if they were adamant, there would have been a bit, as soon as the ref gave the free kick, they were just back in position. There was no
pushback. I think it's because of how everything happened so quickly. But obviously, we got the hindsight of slowing it down and stuff. And I think there's a case there that the goal should stand because Wilson doesn't have control of the ball. And it's just the follow through that maybe people are calling a foul. But anywhere else on the pitch, if you win the ball first and follow through, it's a legitimate tackle, right? So it's one of those. I mean, I think we're lucky to get away with it. On another day, that could obviously go against us. There's a couple of pieces of luck now, I think, over the last couple of games we've got to go in our way, which, you know, it's nice to see for a change, because think of all the years that stuff hasn't gone for us. So maybe that the tide is turning, shall we say, in that regard.
Exactly. Fine margins.
Matty Godden.
I mean, that was the first one. I mean, it was a good strike. It was a good move. And that's how, like you said at the start, how it feels like we're playing at the moment. Like, on the whole, it's quite gritty. But then there's little moments, you know, in the, which, like QPR, resulted in three goals. And this could have easily been a goal. And we'd have all gone, a really nice move, you know, pressing high. We won it back. Ball played to Ayari. He played a perfect pass. Godden, great strike, hit the upright. And I mean, other than that, what did you make of Godden's performance? I guess I'll ask you.
I just don't feel like he doesn't a lot. You can't knock his goal scoring ability, but like you said, it's everything that we're doing at the moment is coming in moments. How many moments are we getting in games that, you know, Godden is there to finish off? Mm. That's like, for me, like, I feel like we're carrying a player at times. And for some reason, he never seems to come off as a sub either. I know he's having, like, he feels like it's the fittest he's been, but let's see Hadji and Sims together.
Well, I mean, yesterday he finally was subbed off. That was the you know, for Sakamoto in like the whatever in the 89th minute, whatever it was. And I agree. And people are getting the knickers in a twist when they, you know, there's been a few people who have come out and said, you know, they want to see Wright and Sims together. I don't think anyone's saying like drop Godden, but people are just saying you could rotate and take him off for 10 minutes. Like, are we going to lose the game because it's Sims and Godden up front for the last 15 minutes or so? I really don't think we are. It was 0-0 yesterday, and I said, the people I was with, my dad and that, I said, you just knew that Sims was going to come off. But I said, let's say he takes Godden off and puts Wright on. Are we losing the game because of that?
We have three strikers, and we only seem to be rotating two. And the third one has one of the worst injury records in the whole league, never mind this football club. And I know for the time being it seems to be all hunky-dory, but we're playing so many matches. There's going to be a time where he goes down. And
it feels like a ticking time bomb, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The same with the Kelly situation. I would argue that God has probably got a little bit more of a better injury record,
robust,
than Liam Kelly.
So surely it'd be worth because let's say he'd suddenly got injured in training or something. Robbins is like, he's going to be out for 4 weeks. So then he's got to play them together, or he's got to play just one up top. So surely it'd be worth getting them used to playing with each other for a bit.
In
the event for when it happens. Surely we don't want to have a case of, Godden gets injured. And then it's like, oh, now they're going to play together. And then have a few games where we all go, you can tell that they've not played together because they don't know each other's games. But surely it'd be worth it. Giving them some opportunity, you know, and we've spent a lot of money on these strikers.
I was about to say, there's no way Robbins has thought we're going to spend £10 million on two strikers and only play one of them at a time with a £200,000 man from Peterborough. There's no way he would have thought that. He would have thought.
No, and obviously he wants to play it's a long-term thing, and I get that. And I think Matty Godden, you know, if that strike goes in, that's almost where exactly you want him. I also saw people saying, you know, on Twitter saying, you know, about him, oh, he's dropping into that false nine. I personally don't want him there. I think he's the best. Where Matty Godden is his best, and he's even said it himself. He said it when I interviewed him, is in the box. Do you know what I mean? In that six-yard box, that's where he comes alive.
He needs to be the furthest player up the pitch.
Yes, I agree. Because he hasn't obviously got that natural blistering pace to sort of run past it. So you want him in the area where he can react first and he can sort of become alive.
But we're also not playing enough through the lines for him to get into that position.
No, you're right. We're not.
I don't know the answer. I honestly, maybe the answer becomes when Palmer and O'Hare are fit and we play
the box behind Godden. You feel like, and the wing backs getting higher up, because the problem we had yesterday was we were very lopsided again in terms of De Silva getting high, Latibodier solid sort of defensively. Clearly Robbins would prefer that than Sakamoto in defense, but what we gained defensively we lost offensively.
Jay De Silva, by the way,
oh,
what a player.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
cannot fault him. I think he is
player of the season for me so far.
He's becoming a fast fans favorite. His commitment, I mean, the images of him, you know, when we scored, he's going right over to Singer's corner. He's been technically, he's brilliant. He's so strong for his size. He does, you know, he very rarely gets, you know, barged off the ball.
Bullied, yeah.
It's crazy, and he puts some balls in the box which some fans would look at and you'd go, no one. Yeah. For me, it's like there's no one there though.
Yeah,
like,
and that's where you want the opposite wing back to be at the back stick.
Yes, to then knock it back again.
Because the space is unbelievable.
And the counter running. Yeah, you're bang on. And that was the problem. There was a few balls which, I thought we've got literally, like, Godden was like near to the box. I'm like, I want you, or Sims at the back post, you at the near post, and then the following wing back to be able to play as that winger. And then you've got Kelly and the two centre mids then can just sit and provide that option, you know, 25 yards out.
But those passes are deliberate. Like, the crosses are deliberate to the back post, expecting that extra man to be there.
Well, that's what we work on, isn't it? That there was periods where when we get in that position, when we do finally get out from the back three and we get De Silva or Van Aebak or whoever high up, you go and you see it in the training videos. That's clearly, okay, this is how we want to play. This is, we want to be putting balls in the box. Godden comes alive. He finds some space, you know, second ball, and we're going to score. But like you say, they are deliberate, but it just, it felt like it was also, one person missing, you know, from completing those moves yesterday. So obviously, yeah, we hit the bar then, and a corner, Eccles on set pieces.
Oh, don't start. Do not start. We haven't got enough time tonight to talk about him on set pieces. Apart from this one.
Apart from this one, where so clearly Robin's gone. He's struggling to beat the first man, so can someone go right near the near post?
Yeah.
But Bobby Thomas got onto it. I mean, it's fair to Bobby Thomas. He's been quite unlucky the last couple of home games not to have scored.
Yeah. Great save, wasn't it?
Great save, and then crashed against the bar. Now, again, Bobby Thomas, I've been really impressed with him, right? And I do think there's been a couple of occasions where there's been a brain fart moment.
The Mad Max moment. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But he does do some stuff where I go, you know, he is 22. He's on a four-year deal. I think he's going to be really, really good. There's moments where he drives out, and then it's almost when he doubts himself. He then has a moment where you can see it and you're like, oh, my God, what's he going to do here? But I see a player there, and I know, you know, people. He's not the flavor of the month of the centre backs at the moment. I know that's Binks, but with everyone.
But I think defensively we've looked okay, defensively fine, it's very solid. I mean, Binks made that mistake versus QPR, but since he's come in, he's been a revelation. I think he's been so solid. He's keeping Kitchen out of the team, which is, you know, on merit because of how well he's playing. And Bobby Thomas obviously had an incredible start to the season, made those couple of mistakes and was dropped, quite rightly. He's come back into the team. Now, obviously, Van Ajevac has been deputised by Lati Bodiel on that right side. So he's come back in and he's doing really well. There's going to be question marks now whether, you know, Lati Bodiel, when he comes back to the defensive unit, is he going to go straight into the three centre-halves? That's questionable because the three of them are playing well. So it's, you know, I don't think we have any real issues or concerns with the centre backs.
No, and it's only going to get better, isn't it? I mean, you've got to remember last season, there's no way we'd have looked at that defence we had and gone, they're going to, you know, keep the most clean sheets in the league, you know, but they grew into it. And you can see that actually the relationship's building. You can see that, for example, De Silva and Binks in the last few games have built up this sort of understanding. Fads is getting, you know, they're getting to know Fads. Fads is getting to know them either, because he's got two brand new defenders either side of him. Kitchen obviously came on, you know, the first time I've finally seen him. I was like, that's what £4 million gets you, when he thought he was so enthusiastic. He like darted into Dolan and thought, he is not the player you want to be diving into.
He has got a massive square head as well, hasn't he? It's so funny.
What I liked about him, though, he did read. People think I think Binks has done well. But the one thing I know, sometimes I think with Binks, is I think he's quite reactive in terms of the defending side of it. Clearly, he's very good on the ball. Kitchen yesterday, I think his first thing is, like, defending. I could see him reading the game in terms of to get cut out the crosses. And I mean, eventually he is, you'd imagine, coming in. And you wonder whether, because again, Fads is another one. Yeah, he seems indestructible. But, you know, heaven forbid, if something happened to him, like it did last season, you know, for a period, what is Robbins's ultimate plan in his head of if Fads was to pick up an injury? Touch wood, he doesn't. Who goes into the centre? Could Kitchen go into the centre with Binks and Thomas?
I think that's a big question mark, because Fads, last couple of games, I think he's been outpaced quite a bit by a couple of the attackers he's come up against, and he's shown a little bit of a shortfall there. So it's going to be interesting what the long-term thing is on this, because it's, you know, everyone's on four-year contracts apart from Binks. You'd probably like to think they've got some kind of plan in place for purchasing him. I think he's out of contract in the summer, or out of contract the summer after next.
So what's his vision? Yeah, because you've got Latibodier, Thomas, Kitchen, all on four-year deals. Binks, you think if he impresses, could be one of those where he's at a loan and we try to make permanent. So then you think, who does he want to have in each position?
As he's free. I think Thomas actually is going to be the central one.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. I think if in an ideal world, if everyone was sort of on an even keel, he would play Latibodier, Thomas and Kitching as a three. That's why I think he would play, if everyone, you know, if we're starting the season fresh, new game, new season, straight in, that's how I think he would set that three up. But because of obviously injuries and performances and, you know, stuff we don't see in training, like you said, with Binks coming into the team, this is the situation we are in at the moment. But I think if Van Ajevac comes back, I think Fads might, you know, drop to the bench at least for a couple of games, just to give him a rest more than anything. Yeah. And it'll be it'll be Thomas in the centre with Latiberia to his right.
Exactly, I agree. And so obviously in the second half, we've then third time lucky hitting the crossbar. Ayari, who I did think had been a little bit of a passenger in the game. That was probably the poorest I'd seen him, but he came alive in a moment and it counted. It was the first time actually towards that sort of second half of the second half that we actually sort of did a few passes, kept the ball. Ayari, nice jinking run, fantastic strike, cannoned off the bar, and you sort of thought, oh no, it came to Hadji Wright. And obviously we'd all seen the boxing videos and clearly I was thinking, please imagine that ball, get over this ball, man. And then and to be fair to him, he's generated some power on this header, yeah, down low, and couldn't have asked for a better person for it to happen to, really, especially after the last home game, the miss against Huddersfield.
I mean, it's the header was unbelievable. I think I said it in the group chat as soon as it went in, that, like, how good is that header? That's great technique, great leap, takes it early as well. Keeper's got no chance, he's not sailed. Just a brilliant goal. And what that will do for his confidence, you hope, that will kick him on. A bit like Sims at the weekend. Okay, Sims didn't probably show much yesterday, apart from a good few turns and a few touches and a couple of runs here and there. But you could just see the little boost it'd give Ellis going into that game. And you're hoping this will do the same for Hadji going into the weekend. Because, you know, it's been a couple of months now since he scored his opening goal.
Well, he scored in two wins now, so that's the positive. Yeah, last time we won at home.
Match winners as well? What was the other game?
It was 3-0.
Okay, 3-0.
But he made the second, yeah. But no, I take your point, and I think that's good for him. And he listened to what we said when we interviewed him at the tavern. He went to the right corner, this time. No, he was definitely not going to go over to the other corner. But no, brilliant for him. And
he
had
some on his shirt as well. I couldn't quite read what was on his undershirt.
Thank you, Dean Ross, I think.
Yeah, probably. Thanks for the support. Yeah, I hope so.
But no, I mean, me and Dave were talking about this last week before, you know, after the sort of Huddersfield game, about, you know, the sort of, yeah, the stick he was coming in for, you know, from fans and, you know.
Completely unwarranted.
Everyone writing him off, you know, and we were talking about how, you know, wrongly and harsh, but people obviously, if he's not delivering, you know, they look at, say, his body language. But I thought yesterday it looked like, you know, he showed this moment. We actually finally put a ball in where he turned a couple of times. He outpaced that Briton, and he's no slouch. And I thought, and he won us a corner. I thought, they're the moments. You can see it again. And you know, and then the finish, you know, I just had a moment where I was like, please, you know, and it was a great header. And, you know, that's obviously his second goal, both at home. And you think that would give him the world of good going into Norwich.
I do want to see a little bit more from him.
Oh, of course.
I think it will take time to do that, to see that. And I don't think I was harsh in giving him only a 6.6 in my rating going into the last international break. I don't think that was too harsh at all. I don't think my opinion's changed since then. I do want to see a little bit more from him, but just have patience, everybody. Like, we've heard it from Mark Robbins. This is a transitional year. Yeah. It's not going to all come together this year. Okay, yeah, what is it, 2 points off the playoffs? I mean, the league table at this time of year is bullshit. We know that. We've seen it firsthand. You know, up until QPR, everybody was down in the dumps thinking, you know, we've overpaid for these players. We never got a very good squad. All this mumbo jumbo, and then all of a sudden two wins on the bounce and we're 2 points off the playoffs, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're a good team again, and all this sort of nonsense. Just relax, everybody. And just take it for what it is. These players, this squad is brand new. Lots of new players in a new league also, which is difficult at the best of times for a lot of players with experience at this level. So I think just get behind the boys. Don't get on their backs, because there's going to be periods this season where this happens all the time.
But then patience, like you said, you know, just a look then. So Victor Gyökeres, when we got him on loan, he scored 3 goals in 19 games.
Go back to the season we signed him for £1 million. Go back to the season preview and listen to what I said. I said it was a waste of money. I said I don't think he showed enough promise during that period for us to even gamble a signing on him, let alone pay £1 million for him. How wrong I was.
And that's what I mean. You know, 19 games, 3 goals. So Hadji Ryan's got 2 in 10. We've got to believe in Mark Robbins, you know.
And he's probably playing the team that's playing worse than Gyökeres was playing it at the time. Gyökeres was playing, you know, a decent side. O'Hare was playing. Hamer was playing. Sheaf was playing. You know, he had people around him.
That's what I mean. We've got new players everywhere.
We don't have that same core in the team to begin with. And we don't have the same attacking threats as Hamer and O'Hare were offering Gyökeres at the time.
100%. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. And had you right, Sims, they're surrounded by new players as well. It's not like he's the only new player coming in to a settled midfield and wing backs and everything. So, look, I agree with you. I want to see more. I think they've both got, Sims and Hadji Wright, have both
There's
got
bags of potential.
Bags of potential. And I think, look, long-term signings, and it's a long season. You know, you look at the table, back-to-back wins, and all of a sudden it's like, I mean, like I said, table is irrelevant, but you look at it, and as long as we're there, mate, or close, touching distance, like we were January last year.
It keeps everyone excited and on their toes.
Go out and you buy a couple of centre mids.
There's no doubt someone's coming in January in centre midfield.
100%.
Because Mark Robinson's had his eye on somebody. I don't want to say too much at the moment because it'll probably blow up in my face, but somebody's available in the summer and there's a good chance he can come in January because of obviously pre-contracts, and maybe we can get him for, you know, a smaller fee to get him in earlier. But yeah, just be patient. That's all I'm going to say at the moment.
There we go. And that, you know, it's exciting. And Robbins did the article the other day when he said, you know, they're profiling for January. So, you know, I think we probably need another right wing back as well, you know, because he clearly, you know, Sakamoto didn't fancy there. But we held on yesterday. Did you see an improvement in terms of those final stages? You know, Robin spoke about the panic, you know, and he was pretty angry.
No, there was panic there, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, yeah.
But that's just football.
Fine margins, isn't it?
It happens, you know, for some reason you just sort of get on your heels and, you know,
Eccles' legs were literally made of jelly. He was running and he wasn't going. They were just flopping around. He was absolutely done. Yeah. But we saw it out. Had you right with the winner. Perfect. 3 points. Higham, just by the way, Andy, for listening, Higham was brilliant yesterday. I thought he was ever so good. But no, he clapped off the Sky Blue fans as well. But yeah, great win. And obviously, you know, me and Dave spoke last week. We said of these three games, QPR, Blackburn and Norwich, he said he'd be happy with 4 points. We've got six from two. So,
yeah.
We'll take a look at the Norwich game next.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So Norwich next up for the Sky Blues on Saturday, a team who we haven't, I'm going to ask you a question, Dean, actually. When?
I already know the answer, Ross. 2009.
Ah, he's done it as well.
14 years.
Yes. I had a look earlier on today. And
look at you, I mean, 11 versus 11.com.
You're bang on. but they're a team who, particularly in, I mean, not only, and there was a period where we had a good run against them, but in recent times, not only have we lost, but we tend to lose, you know, pretty convincingly.
Badly, yeah. And bad performances. I'll just go back to last year. Was it 3-0 down in 12 minutes or something along those lines?
Yeah. Well, we lost 3-0 away, do you remember? And that was when people were saying, Mark Robbins even said that was a sackable performance.
Oh, God. I've got a cup of tea.
Oh.
Entering the room. Sorry, Ross. Oh, that's hot. Ow.
There we go.
It's in my new Mickey Mouse
service.
Mug.
Look at this. Very nice. Look at that from District. Very good.
Straight from Orlando. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, but no, you yeah, they're a team who we clearly need to perform, because the results have been bad, but the home game we were totally off it. And I mean, they lost in midweek to Swansea. What are you expecting from Norwich, Dean?
Well, would you a performance against them at least? And you know, 3 points would be an absolute bonus. But you know, Norwich sitting in seventh place, great start to the season, but just recently have hit that sort of sticky patch that most teams seem to hit at random points during the year. And it's probably all down to the lack of Josh Sargent, who started the season absolutely on fire. And most people have said, if Norwich are going to be in those playoffs fighting for automatics, he's the man who's going to have to fire them there. And he is injured for a long period of time, I think. I think he's not expected back until at least February. So they're a little bit down in the dumps at the moment. So, you know, maybe this is the chance that we need to take. I know they're playing that Huang up front, and who's a midfielder by trade. So, and he's, you know, he hasn't got great legs as well. So I'm not sure pace is going to be a bit of an issue for us on Saturday, which plays into our hands, of course. But, you know, there are a few players that we need to be wary of. Gabriel Sara, not sure why he's still at Norwich. He's a far better player than Norwich. But in the past, I've always looked at Norwich as a team that, you know, I kind of feared, but I don't fear them anymore. Especially this season, I don't think they've got the same player power, shall we say, that they have had in the past. So I'm looking forward to Saturday, basically on the basis that we need to get a result against a team who have had the upper hand against us. And I think it's long overdue.
It's long overdue. But, you know, those back-to-back wins gives us that sort of, should give us that confidence at home before an international break to sort of go out there and, you know, lay down a marker. I mean, if we could get 100%. Another home win, you know, if we could stay unbeaten at home, you know, and even a draw, but a good performance would fill everyone with confidence, you know. And then obviously we've got the international break to try and get back one or two of our players. I mean, do you think there's a chance O'Hare could be on the bench on Saturday?
There's a chance. I don't think he will or should be, because I don't think there's any point, really. There's no point risking him. Give him another 2 weeks on the grass, taking hits from the team. Just get him back to some kind of level where, you know, he can come back full speed rather than, you know, easing him in over a couple of games. So yeah.
It doesn't feel desperate, does it? You know, because of these two wins, it doesn't feel like, you know, if had we not beat QPR and we hadn't got a win yesterday, that there would be a feeling of, I don't know, desperation, that, and then possibly I feel like maybe there'd be a chance that he'd be on the bench trying to lift everyone. But everyone has been lifted by the wins, and we sort of go in and it feels a bit of a free hit, really.
So when's the next game after this? Is it like
Bristol City? So it'll be 2 weeks. So I do agree with you. I think Robbins will go, we can get through Norwich with what we've got. Then we've got 2 weeks then, and he can be in the squad, and hopefully Ben Sheaf might be as well for Bristol City.
What a big plus that would be to have Sheaf, O'Hare and Van Avac all back straight after the international break. Well, I mean, all of a sudden it just becomes a much clearer picture and a much better team and a much better way to play football. And then you've got Palmer maybe back in... Yeah. At the start of November.
Weeks after that. Yeah. And you look, I was thinking that yesterday. I thought in those moments where we look good, and actually you've got these ingredients to add back in, like O'Hare and Ben Sheaf and Van Avac, and you suddenly go, and actually Sims and Wright getting better, getting this bigger understanding. Allen's obviously come in and done well. And suddenly, and the defense are getting more secure and getting to know each other. And then suddenly you look at it and go, actually, this could be really exciting. Take us towards Christmas and to January. And then this mysterious central midfielder who, yeah, profile, and then suddenly comes in. And then
I wish I hadn't said that now, because I'm just going to get pouters. But don't tell the missus. But that's probably one of the worst cups of tea I've ever drank.
Oh dear! Oh yeah. Dear! Oh dear! Oh dear!
Somebody's definitely clipping that up, aren't they?
Yeah, that's definitely.
I won't tell you a name.
Is it breakfast tea?
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Poor form.
Not good. But team news wise, would you make, you know, it's been a busy schedule, would you make any changes? I mean, yeah, we can't really do much in central midfield. So,
well, he's not going to drop out Godden. So, the only change I would like to see is the top end of the pitch. because I think you're forced into a midfield of Allen, Eccles and Ayari because of the situation, unless you put Latibodier in there now and then put Sakamoto at right wing back. I mean, that's a possible option. I want to see Simpson right up front at least at some point. Have they played up front together at any point so far?
They've been on the pitch together once at the same time, but that Matty Goddam is also still on the pitch.
Yeah, it's playing such a false nine. Come on now, Mark. I'm going to send a message now to you, Mark. If you're listening, please, for the love of God, play them both together.
Well, I think Sims has looked good.
They're both scored in the last week. Get them on the pitch together. Matt, you're talking about you can't drop Matty Goddam because he hasn't scored. Hello. We've got two strikers who have scored in the last week. Get them on the pitch. Matty Goddam hasn't scored.
And I mean, what's the worst thing that happens? If it's not working, then he's got Goddam to bring on, hasn't he?
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't know. I mean, training's one thing, and Robinson would be the first to say, you know, and then the match is different. If suddenly it's like, they need work in terms of working together, fine. But then they'll only learn that from playing together in a competitive game against an opposition, you know. And I mean, Kitchen, did you see him starting?
Well, no, because Binks has been tremendous. And the only position Kitchen's going to go in is in that left spot.
Yeah.
Ross, we second guess Matt Robbins every single week and he does the batshit every time.
He'll go unchanged.
That's what I mean, the batshit. Like for us, it's like it's easy. Change the team, freshen it up. But to him, it's like, no, not doing that. And we're talking, we're up against 31-year-old Shane Duffy, 30-year-old Ben Gibson here in the centre-back position for Norwich as well. Ageing centre-backs. Get Wright and Sims against these two pronto. Wright will outpace this whole defence if we play the right balls to him. Does Sam McCallum still play there?
He does, I think. I'm not sure if he actually... I don't know if he's been playing, to be fair. That's something I'm not too sure.
Now I've mentioned Sam McCallum's name, there'll be... The Twitter accounts will go ballistic now saying we're going to sign him in January. The Coventry King, I can already feel him drafting out a tweet. Who's gone quiet recently? Has anyone seen the Coventry King? Might be the same wanted poster as Matty Goddam.
A lot of people go very quiet, you know, when suddenly the couple of wins happen. But no, it's going to be an interesting game. Prediction, Dean?
Another scrappy 1-0. I don't care how we
win.
Yeah, I feel like we've always done well going into international breaks. We've always come back going, God, I wish there wasn't an international break.
Yeah, we always come back dog shit, don't we?
Yeah, that's the thing. You say, we've got momentum going into the international break, but we come back playing absolutely horseshit.
Yeah.
So it's like, let's have it again.
So we all know we're going to lose to Bristol. 1,000%. Yeah.
Why change it? So let's go in with a win. I think we will. I think we'll turn the tide against Norwich. It's been a long 14 years, but I think we're gonna do it. I hope so. I'm gonna say a defender. I think it's gonna be like a left field kind of, not on the left of the field, but a left field goal. I'm gonna say third time lucky, Bobby Thomas. The third home game in a row. It was home that first save, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Huddersfield, yeah. I think now's his time. I can just see the celebration now. He's just going to go into the corner on his knees, flop over, and look an absolute tool in the process. But we'll win the game. That's a long-winded way of saying we're going to win 1-0.
Well, hopefully you're right,
Dean. How do you feel it's going to go?
I guess there is that sort of underlying, because of recency games against them, that there's a little bit of fear, and that's more thinking of the Norwich from say last year or the year before. But I agree with what you said. I don't think they are that same force, you know, when they play players like Pookie and that, who you just knew could win them a game out of nothing. It's a shame that Josh Sargent isn't fit, really, because him and Haji Wright, the two Americans, could be buddying up together.
Like the tag team championship.
Exactly.
I'm literally gonna go listen to Hulk Hogan now.
Yeah.
I don't know why we haven't sung a song like that for him, for Haji Wright.
Oh, it's ole ole, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I'd like to see us.
Well, you start it. You start Hulk Hogan, I am a real American.
Do you reckon, we haven't even had it on like one of the Coventry playlists before the game. Hasn't come up yet.
Well, no, yeah, we come out the second half. We come out to Triple H's. Maybe we should change it.
Yeah, change it up a little bit. Yeah,
I'm thinking a 1-1 draw, and I'd be pleased with a draw. I would be. I think, you know, if we can stay unbeaten,
that'd be a solid 3 games, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
Considering what we came into this 3-game stint,
well, after the Cardiff game, which was abysmal. Yeah,
oh, you know. God.
So it'd be nice to go in, you know, to go into this next international break, just only be on like 2 defeats, you know, and to be on a 4-game unbeaten run and a couple of wins and stuff and beating at home. I think it'd be pretty good. I'll go 1-1 and a goal from Eccles.
Oh, God, not another deflected effort. How he had the audacity to claim Saturday as if he struck it perfectly as well. You know, I can't believe it.
But fingers crossed, you're right, Dean, and we get a win. Thank you very much for joining
nice
me
one, mate.
Tonight.
Great to be back.
Yeah, and as we say, we give the fans what they want. That's all we've got time for. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Make sure you head over to social media and follow the Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. Make sure you get to the Dylan's Brewery nice and early on Saturday for some bargain beverages, as always. And also, a question of sport event at the Sky Blue Tavern. Details are on the Sky Blue Taverns and Sky Blue's extra Twitter pages. And make sure you follow us at SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.